Oh, hey, let me say, by the way, some of that stuff on Facebook, I'm not going to say too much about this one point right here, but if you see something on Facebook and you're not, make sure that you click on the post, because let me tell you what I've learned. I'm 64 years old, and this is what I learned. Never assume anything. Never assume. And I just posted something on there, and the title might make you think something else. And I had some comments to that regard, but they didn't click on the post and read what it actually said. And so if you read something and you got all riled up, go back and read the post, and I think you'll be all calmed down. It's something I shared from somebody sent to me, so, you know, that's how that goes. Okay, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, and the Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took and the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan and to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to the men, up to them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren, my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men answered her, 'Our lives for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.'" Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word and our privilege that we have to be here to worship you today. I pray you open our hearts, Lord, and speak. Lord, you know every need of every person that's here today. You know our condition. Lord, I pray for one or more that may be here lost, or maybe someone here, Lord, not sure about their salvation. But I pray you just impress upon their heart their need, Lord, whatever it may be. Maybe they'll be saved today. We'll thank you in advance for what you're going to do, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is Faith's Victory. Faith's Victory. Of course, this is a pretty familiar Bible story for a lot of people that we have here in the Old Testament. We see a woman named Rahab. She really exercised some great faith. But listen to this, only because of what she heard. She had only heard. And I wondered about this when I was looking at this story. You know, people then, they didn't travel like we do now. You didn't get that far away. They had heard about what happened when the Israelites left Egypt. And they had heard about what they had done to some of the other cities or countries around about. But I don't know that she had actually ever seen anything. She had just heard about it from somebody. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We don't always have to have anything more tangible than that. And so we see that it's amazing the faith that she ended up exercising with what she had only heard. Now, you know, we know there's some other types of faith. The Bible talks about a false faith, and that's where we can put faith in something that's not true. We could have faith in that way, you know, something that's not actually true or something that doesn't work out. old rickety chair. You might have faith that if you sit in it, it'll hold you up, and it doesn't. So that was a false faith, right? And then we also know about a dead faith. A dead faith is when we say we have faith, but it's only in word only, and then it's not followed by deeds, by action there. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, that word there, a lot of times we say, well, you know, if somebody believes in Jesus, what does believing in Jesus mean? Not only hearing that you know what the Bible says about and you heard what Jesus has done and you believe that, that's a saving faith. No, that's not a saving faith. Actually, if you study that real close and you look, that word believeth in, that word means believeth into him. It means you believe into him. And we know at salvation, there's a vital union that takes place between Jesus Christ and the person that puts faith in him to where it's, you know, he's our life, it becomes our life. And so, you know, that vital union, it's important. And it's more than just believing in a historical fact that Jesus existed or that Jesus did something. It's where you are depending on him for life. And so that's what real saving faith was. And actually, this is what Rahab was going to have to exercise, because if she didn't have real saving faith, then she wasn't going to be saved. If she didn't really believe or really put her faith in what these men said who represented God because they were God's people, then she was going to die with everyone else. And we'll look at that in a little bit later. And so, you know, I want to, you know, just want us to see that real saving faith entails a lot more than just believing in a historical fact about Jesus himself. It's active. And so, but what I want to do, and I was thinking about this message, see, but sometimes what happens as pastors, if you've been preaching a long time, and I have preached a long time, and I preach a lot of you guys most of the time, but, you know, we think sometimes things are so simple that we think, you know, I don't need to preach on that because, you know, I mean, I know it. I got it nailed down. I got it settled. I'm looking at some deeper stuff. I've been studying some stuff about this Christ life. I mean, it's really, and I'd really like to talk about that a lot. But it's you know, I got to remember that there's sometimes we just need to back up to the basic thing. And so I want us to back up and to be sure that you're saved, that you really have saving faith. That's the most important thing. So we see saving faith. It's my first point. Hebrews 11:31, which is talking about Rahab, it says this: by faith the harlot Rahab, listen here, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She perished not. In other words, she didn't die when the Israelites took Jericho, and you know what happened there? They went around the city and the walls came down and they went in and took everybody. But it says, it's two things. She perished not, but those that believed not perished. Those that believed not perished. And said she received those spies with peace. Now, receiving those spies is actually in type, a typification of somebody receiving the Word of God. You got to remember, they didn't have the Bible, they didn't have canonized Word, but those were God's people. And she knew what God had done with those people. And so that when she received those spies, that pictures just somebody receiving the Word of God into their life. And I don't know about you, you know, it's like, how many of you ever read the instructions on something? You got to put something together. My dad, I used to get so aggravated with him. Man, he wouldn't look at the instructions, and he'd go to put something together, and then at the end he got three or four nuts and bolts left, and it didn't work right. Never worked right. And I said, Dad, I don't need the instructions. Well, apparently you do. Because you don't have it figured out, right? And how many people know what the Word of God says yet don't do it? Now, let me ask you something. Is that saving faith? I mean, the Bible says you must have to, not perhaps, be born again. You know, I was sharing with somebody the other day, and they said, well, I believe there's a God, but I'm not going to be a Christian, not become a Christian. Then you don't really believe in what the Word of God, and that may be a God of your imagination or a God of your own figment of your imagination, but it's not in the Word of God. How many people that say that they're saved and have saving faith do not do what the Word of God says? This is how we know to have faith in God, what God says. How many of us, and we'll see this in a minute in the story just a little bit clearer than that. So think about this. Saving faith is an active faith. You know, I didn't read as far along in the Bible here that I didn't read the rest of it just for sake of time. But if you know the story of Rahab, they said, okay, listen, since you helped us out, I'm going to paraphrase it in my version. Since you helped us out, what we're going to do, we'll save you, but this is what you got to do. You got to take a red thread and you got to put it in the window. She lived on the wall. And I thought about that too. She lived on the wall and she probably had a window that looked out of a room. Put a red thread in there and everybody, you know, and she asked about her family and everybody that stayed in that house. If you stay in there, you're going to be safe. But if you come out, our blood's not going to be on your hands. You may get killed. But so she put that red thread. You know, we understand that to mean it pictures the blood of Christ, that he shed his blood. And we look back to the Passover when they were in Egypt and they had to slay the lamb and they put the blood over the lintel and the doorpost and the death angel came and everybody that was in the house was safe. That's saving faith. Well, listen, this is doing what God said, right? If they said, listen, you'll be safe. You won't be killed if you will put a red thread in your window. Bill Boone, we don't need it. Just stay in the house, everything will be all right. No. No. What if you didn't do that? You're going to die. What if you don't get saved the biblical way? You're going to die. You're going to perish. I mean, you got to do what it says. That's safe, doing what it says. Put the red thread in the window. That is saving faith. Saving faith is an act of faith. That's just the way it is. It results in doing something. So we see saving faith, and there was a singular faith that Rahab had. And, you know, they say, this is what the statistics say. They say that the older somebody is, and I remember years ago, it seems like my pastor, when I got saved in our church, he got everybody standing up over, he got some guys, some participants from the audience. We didn't have videos in those days, so you had to use human illustrations. And he got a young person, and he had a next, you know, the ages went up to the oldest person. And they had figured out, somebody had read somewhere, a survey, the odds of somebody being saved the older that they get. And you know how you are. You get older, you know how many, a lot looking around the room, a lot of you done got here, done set in your ways. Huh? Nobody's telling you nothing. This is what happened. This is why it is. But I thought about this, and I was thinking about if I wasn't saved, and I'm getting older, you know, and I think, okay, I got more behind me than I got in front. If I wasn't saved, wouldn't that cause a person, or shouldn't that cause a person, to start kind of thinking about eternity? I mean, this is just me, but I'm a saved person trying to view it from a lost person, and maybe I can't do that. Wouldn't it cause you to start thinking about your own mortality? When you go to the funeral home yesterday, you go to funerals and you start thinking about it. You know what? This life, no guarantee. We read in, we was talking about the flu. Sherry saw something on the phone or somewhere. A 13-year-old died from the flu. Got the pneumonia, not 13 years old. So you don't have age is not a barrier here to the end of your life. And so I started thinking, though, but say if you've lived a long enough time, you start thinking. It seems like to me that they would starting to think about, you know, well, you know, is the Word of God true, mortality? But they say that it's harder for somebody to get saved, and, you know, the older that they get. But I think I would start looking for some kind of hope. Man, if this is it, Paul even said that. Paul talked about it. He said, boy, if this is it, I'm a man most miserable. If this is all there is to life. I mean, the older you get, and you see some bitter old people. I think I've shared this with you over the years. You see some old people that are very bitter in life because, you know what, half of their bucket list didn't get fulfilled. And even if their bucket list got fulfilled, they're still not happy. Why? Because they don't have any hope beyond the grave, and they think that's it. That's it. Man, I would be afraid. I would be afraid if that was the case right there. Start thinking about this. Rahab had mentioned this. She said in verses 10 and 11, she said that they, the people of the city, had heard about the mighty works of God. I said that a minute ago. They just heard about it. And she knew that they were going to be attacked. And after what she had already heard about the other cities not being able to do anything, she had the bright idea. She goes, you know what? I'm going to help these people, and I'm just going to ask for mercy. You know, that maybe they'll save me. This is what I've got to do. If I don't, we're going to die. I mean, here's the options, right? Look at the Israelites up to the Red Sea. You got the largest army in the world, the Egyptian army at the time, was the largest army in the world at the time. Coming up behind them, the Red Sea's in front of them. What were they going to have to do? They were going to have to ask for mercy. They asked, you know, went to God, and God parted the Red Sea. So what are the options here? Well, the options are we can just stay here and die, or we can just kind of turn to God's people and ask for some grace and mercy. And she was the only one, and she got her family involved in it too, but she's the only one that did that. And she said, you know, and you wonder, well, why didn't the rest of the people? She wasn't the only one that, she wasn't the Lone Ranger there that heard about these things that God did. The rest of the people in the city heard it too. I don't know. This was a smart play. This is what to do. She said, man, I know what, there's nothing we can do. And she also realized this was the one true God right there as well. And so why do people that face death, why they won't turn to God? Stanley and I went years ago to a guy who had cancer eating a hole through his back. He'd already paralyzed him. The cancer had already paralyzed him. He couldn't walk. He was laying on his bed. And we went in there. It was me and Stanley and Derek Benson. And we went in there and started talking to that guy. And I said, man, you know, I gave him the gospel. And I said, listen, man, you can be saved tonight. He had been in church when he was younger. He said, I went to a Baptist church when I was younger. I said, you know, you ought to get saved tonight. He said, you know, I'm just not ready. You're not ready? I finally kind of, I just got blunt. I said, man, listen, you're dying. And I want to tell you something. You're dying. You are. You're dying. You're going to die. If the Lord doesn't come back, you're going to die. You're dying. What do you mean you're not ready? When are you going to get ready? I don't know. He said, and this is what he said. He said, I can't tell you why I can't get saved. Man, I could feel the Holy Spirit just blow out of the room. I looked at Stanley and Derek. I said, let's pray. We left. He died 3 weeks later. As far as I know, he never trusted Christ. Man, if you can't see it right there, you know, that's it. Well, you're dying too. And we don't know when the dying day is. We don't know. And so why don't people see that? There's false faith. I spoke about that. You know, Jericho, we know from the rest of the story, if you know the story of Jericho, they had walls around the city. That's what they did. Why do people build walls around the city and they have a gate that they shut at night? For safety, for protection. I mean, how many of y'all lock your doors at night? When I get up, the last thing I do, I go to bed at night, I go around, make sure the door's locked. You know, one of them, I got to keep a dog from coming in the house. The dog can open up the door. You got to lock the door, got to lock all the doors and make sure they're locked. We got walls. They put walls around the city. They didn't go to all that trouble to hump all them big stones and get that wall built up, not believing that the wall had a certain amount of protection to it. And it did. But if you know the story about Jericho, you know how they defeated Jericho. God knocked them walls down just like that. But it did have a certain amount of protection there. And we think about that. And there's people that put faith in things, and I'm not saying that's a totally false faith. Jericho probably had an army of some kind. They had some men that could get together if they had to muster up a fight. You could put some faith in that. We think about today, what do people put in? If they're not putting faith in God, and they're going through life and they're getting to be elderly or wherever they're at, what are they putting faith in? Well, you put faith in yourself. That's one thing you put faith in, which that'll only take you so far. Put faith in your education, maybe in your intelligence. Might put faith in your money. And I like, listen, your money's kind of like them walls around Jericho. I mean, I'd rather have some money in the bank than not have any money in the bank. But I'm telling you what, them things, that thing may fall quicker than a wall at Jericho. If you see the stock market going, it's been going pretty well, but you never know what that's going to do. And so there's money. They may think, well, I'm healthy. People, exercising is a big deal today. Let's run, let's work out. And that's, I'm all for it. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Spirit. And if any man defile the temple, and a lot of people do that too, a bunch of them was doing that around here on Sunday, it looked like, or on Saturday. If you defile the temple, that it said, him shall God destroy. So, you know, take care of your body. It's the temple of the Spirit. But listen, you can lift weights, run, eat all kind of vegetables, vitamins, all you want. You're going to die. You're still going to get old and die. You might live longer, but you're still going to die. So, we look at people put that, or how about the philosophy of man, some other kind of philosophy there, or just hope and believe in nothing. They think, well, you know, after death, there's just nothing. We're just going to the grave. We're going to run it. What kind of hope is that? I don't want to believe that there's nothing, because there's something. There is something. I don't want to believe in that. Rahab had this singular faith. She wasn't trusting in none of the rest of those things. The walls aren't going to work. The army's not going to work. My intelligence isn't going to work. I'm going to put faith in a singular thing, and it really was the Word of God, because she had heard what God had done. That's what it was, the Word of God. That's what she had. And so what happened, though? She went against popular opinion. How many of you know today that Christians aren't in the majority? Our nation, it says we're a Christian nation, but we're not. We are not in the minority, or in the majority. We are in the minority. If you're going to be a Christian today and stand as a Christian today in this world, you were going to be going against popular opinion. That's okay. I mean, you thought you were smarter than everybody else anyway, right? I always did. Way down inside, right? Way down inside, you thought you were smarter than everybody anyway, so you're going against them. And that went against popular opinion, by the way. That goes against the popular opinion. So you're going to go against popular opinion, what everybody else says. But you know what? Here's the thing. She did what she wasn't worried about what everybody else thought. She said, man, I'm saving my life. I am going to turn. And she was probably afraid to share this with everybody, because then she would have had to say, well, yeah, I really got the spies hidden up here. But, you know, she couldn't do that. But she didn't worry about everybody else. And every person that is going to come to Christ really has to think and decide for themselves. And what she said, listen, if nobody else is going to trust God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Ron Lynch preached at the men's prayer advance. And by the way, Harold has the YouTube. They got a YouTube site now, and you can go and all the messages that were preached and will be for the ladies as well. Everything will be on YouTube. And the Ron Lynch one, I wanted to share it with Sherry, and we just had with the funeral things and all that going on, we didn't have time to look at it together. I wanted her to see that. But he was telling about another preacher that he knew, and he asked him this one question. He said, what's wrong with America today? We'll focus on America, or what's wrong with the world today? And he said, I'll tell you what it is. He said, no fear of God. There's no fear of God. But let me tell you, and then he said, you know what? What's wrong with the church today? Same problem. There's no fear of God. No fear whatsoever of God. But she had a fear of God. She had a singular faith. She also had a stable faith. Verse 2 and 3 there said that it was told the king, and it said, therefore came in hither tonight of the children of to search out the country. And so they found out that they had gone to Rahab, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, bring forth the men that are come to thee. So they approached her. They thought that she had them. They thought that they were still there. They were, and she had to tell a lie. She told a lie about that, and people worry about a big old message about why Rahab. Listen, she just now exercising faith, for crying out loud. We're not looking for perfection here. We'd have probably done the same thing. But what this represents, or what this picture is, that she was confronted about her faith. She really, this was where faith got tested, see. Pressure's on. Where are those men? If they find those men, Rahab's going to die anyway. You know, she had to really trust that God was going to, and she didn't know what we know. She had to trust that God was going to help her. God was going to protect her. Where are those men? She said, well, they left. She told, you know, she had to really stick with what she was doing. That was the point there. And, this is what happens to us. If you're gonna trust God, I pray that you will or do. Listen, there's going to be opposite. This isn't a popular opinion in the world today. But the world is perishing. And it's the same thing. You know, think about this. You know the story, what happened, how Jericho was defeated. The Israelites came and God said, listen, I want you to march around the city once a day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, you march around 7 times and you blow the trumpet and the walls were just going to fall down. What do you think was going on inside the city when the Israelites came up the first day and they just marched around the city in a circle? Everybody was up there behind this walled city looking out. Don't you think there was some kind of ridicule? Don't you think people were laughing? Look at them fools. Look at them fools out there walking around this. They're just marching around and not doing nothing. First day, it was probably kind of interesting. You know, what in the world? And then the second day, they did it again. By the third day, well, there they go again. Time for the daily walk around the city. Man, this is, nothing's going to happen. What do we got to worry about? Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's just go ahead and have a party. Nothing's going to happen. They're just out there walking around. Then people have lost their mind. Don't you think somebody in there was saying that? Huh? Don't you think that was a test of Rahab's faith? What was she thinking? She didn't know what God told him to do. She didn't know that. She's listening. So what happens? Listen, there's things in the world goes on now. We don't understand. I don't know why things are going like they're going. I know that they're generally going to get worse. I know that. But I can't really understand a lot of things that go on. But I'm going to cling to my faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to put my faith in the Word of God. And somebody's going to laugh. And they're going to ridicule. And they're going to tell me that they're smarter than I am. And that they know more. And that I'm out of my mind. And that this is all a pack of lies. Do you have enough faith to stick with it? No matter what. This was a test of her faith. We look around the world today. Immorality, wickedness, corruption, turmoil. How's your faith? God's got it. God's got it under control. When the enemy laughs at your Bible, your prayers, your church, and for the most part, the enemy, the world is laughing. Is your faith going to waver? She had a singular faith. And she had a self-denying faith. She risked her life. Listen to this point well. She risked her life to hide those spies. Because she believed that in the end, God's will and God's people were going to win. So she risked her life. Do you have that kind of faith? The average Christian today, and I mentioned no fear of God, won't run the risk of missing something on TV. Won't run the risk of coming out to church in the cold, or coming out to church or to worship God in the dark, or to get out of their comfort zone to tell somebody about Christ, or to risk giving up any of their self. And I mean by that by time. They won't risk giving up too much of their money. And it makes me wonder if there's any saving faith in that. She risked her life. Would you risk your life? Which really, that is your life. All this other stuff is your life. That's your life. Would you risk it? Saving faith is a self-denying faith. I sent a little post out the other day. I saw something Franklin Graham, and I may paraphrase it just a little bit. Might have a word out of place, but the thought is correct. He said, since Jesus died for the church, the least we can do is honor him by attending it. He died for it. We can honor him by attending it. But you got to give up this life. Oh, man. When you get to the self-life, when you get to the crucified life, you don't have a life. It's Christ. It's Christ, not you. Matthew 16:25 says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Is it true? You believe it. But you got to act on it. Rahab gave up all her allegiance to the city. She gave up all her allegiance to the people of the city. She gave up all her rights in that city. But she gained life. She gained the rest of her mortal life, and she gained eternal life as well. And then we see also that she had a sympathizing faith in verses 12 and 13. It says she asked the men about her family. She said, you know, let me read it down here. Let me look. It said, now therefore I pray you swear unto me, verse 12, by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men said that they would right there. But listen, she really believed. Here's the thing, that she really believed. It wasn't a perhaps, maybe, might that the Israelites were going to win and that city would be defeated. You know, and the parallel is that we really believe, hey, that Jesus is coming back, and there's a death, and there's a judgment day, and there's a literal hell. We really believe that. And so she said she asked for her family. And I got to believe that also that she talked to her family about, or maybe they had also, and probably everybody had heard about what happened, but she had to tell them, listen, this is what happened. I've talked to the men, and I know they're going to win, and we're going to put a thread in the window, and you got to stay in the house. And guess what? They all stayed in the house. They were exercising a certain amount of saving faith also when they did that. They didn't know a lot, but you don't have to. And this is what I want you to see too. Listen, you don't have to know. You think, well, man, I just haven't been around church too much in all my life, and man, I got to know the Bible from A to Z. No, you don't. They didn't know anything. What did they know? They didn't have the Bible. All they knew was this was God's people, and God's people were defeating every enemy they faced, and God was blessing them beyond all kind of. And you know what? I'm just going to trust and see if that grace will be given to me. And that's all they knew to do. That's all they knew to do. They didn't know. That's all you have to know, that you're lost and you want to be saved, and that there's a judgment day, and you want to turn to the Lord, and you want to love the Lord, and you want to be blessed by the Lord. She knew that. She sought this salvation, and I think there's something wrong. Brian started this new Sunday school class. I think he called some of you yesterday, maybe, or somebody called some people. Let them know about the class, and it's talking about, not being afraid to share your faith, getting over that fear of sharing your faith. The book's got another title, but it's beating around the bush. getting over your fear of sharing your faith, that go out and have a concern right there. And if we don't have compassion on other people that are lost or want to share our faith with somebody, lost family and friends especially, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with a parent that won't come down to an old-fashioned altar and get on their knees and cry out to God over their kids that are lost, that are not following the Lord. I'm not saying they're not good kids, but if they're not trusting Christ, if Christ isn't central in their life, they're lost. And I mean, there's something wrong with that. I was reading, it might be on one of the protocol things about praying, but down on bended knee. I'm going to tell you what, the Apostle Paul, he got down in the middle of a storm on a bended knee. Jesus got in the Garden of Gethsemane, he got on a bended knee. It doesn't say that you have to be on your knees to pray, but boy, they sure got on their knees a lot when they did. It's a position of humility when you get down, if you're able. I'm not talking about, you don't have any legs and the other ones you got don't bend. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying if you can get down there, and they got down there and they prayed. There's something wrong when you don't have even the compassion for your own children and the compassion for your own family, your parents, your brothers and sisters, much less, and we also should have compassion to other people that's not even related to us. She had a concern. She didn't have the soul winning class, brother. She didn't have it. She just had a compassion automatic to tell them this is the way to be saved. And she told them about that as well. And boy, I believe when the walls fell down, I've thought about this. If you've read that story, it says that the walls fell down, but this text that we read, she had her house was on the wall. Like I said, they had an outer wall. Usually the poorer you were out there on the outer wall. She was on the outer wall, her house on the wall. I just picture it in my mind. I don't know if this is true or not. You get to heaven, this is going to be a question you can ask. That I believe all the walls fell down except right there where her house was. I think they just stayed in place. Or if the walls fell down, you could look in there, and there they were in the room waving. The wall fell down, but the house is still standing. You could see inside. It was something like that, because they didn't get hurt. Everything was fine. Everything was protected. And all the family was in there. I believe they started learning about God after that, or more about God right there. So she had a sympathizing faith, and then also she had a sanctifying faith. The Bible says that Rahab was a harlot. You know what a harlot is? That a harlot got saved. I think, I don't know at all, I just think that one of the reasons that Rahab got saved was so that there's people out there that say, you know what, and there's people that say, I'm just too bad to be saved. What about her? She is a harlot, a prostitute. That's what it was. She was a prostitute, but God showed mercy on her. So nobody can say, well, you know what, I'm just too bad to be saved. That was it. It's the evidence that God will save anybody, no matter how bad, no matter how your past was. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't believe after she was saved that she remained a harlot. Sometimes them names stick with you. I don't believe she was a harlot after that. I got evidence in the Bible to prove otherwise, that she didn't remain a harlot. I don't believe anybody. This is a problem today when people say, well, I'm exercising saving faith in Jesus Christ, but yet I remain in my sin. Nothing ever changes. No sanctification, that process. I'm not saying perfection, but I'm just saying there's a sanctification process that when the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in you and sin's going to dwell there too, No, it can't. I'm not saying there's not going to be a growing and a learning, and God's going to deal with you and kind of chip off the thing. I heard a guy one time, he had them chainsaws. I'm always fascinated by the guys that can take a chainsaw and they can take a log and they can make that thing look like a bear. I said, well, how do you make it look like a bear? He said, I cut off everything that don't look like a bear. And then it turns into, well, that's what God does to us. You know what? God starts the sanctification process. He chips off everything that don't look like Jesus. And if you're just still the same old person, still the same old sins, and I'm not saying there's not struggles and battles, but there's not been any change in your life. There's something wrong with that saving faith right there. But I know from the Word of God that she didn't remain a harlot forever, that she got married, as a matter of fact. You know, going a little farther in history ahead, you know who David, old King David? King David, the Bible says, you know what the Bible says about David? It says that David was a man after God's own heart. He wrote most of the Psalms. We know about him being the king there, and it was had a heart after God. Well, David, his daddy's name, his daddy was a man named Jesse. So we back up a generation there. And Jesse's daddy was a man named Obed. Now, Obed's dad and mom were Boaz and Ruth. Y'all know the story of Boaz and Ruth. Beautiful story about Ruth coming back with her mother-in-law and everything. And they found this man and he showed him mercy. Obed's mom and dad were Boaz and Ruth. And guess who Boaz's mother was? It was Rahab. She married a man named Solomon. She married a prince named Solomon, and they gave birth to Boaz. So what does that mean, preacher? That Rahab, the ex-harlot, was in the direct line of Jesus Christ. That in God's, he didn't take a bunch of super saints that never had done anything wrong for his birth on his human side to come through. Came through the line of David, and Rahab was in the line, a former harlot, the grace and mercy of God. Man, that's the story right there. True saving faith is a sanctifying faith. Saved not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power and the desire of sin. That's salvation. Let me ask you this in closing. Do you have an assurance? Do you have victory in your life over sin? Have all things, the Bible says all things become new, are being used by God. All things became new for Rahab. She did walk in victory. She had assurance. Sure, she had to learn some things. She had to grow. We get saved today. Listen, you know, some people think, well, you know what? Man, I've got to get my whole life straightened out before I can get saved. Man, I got to quit doing this, and I got to quit doing that. I got to quit, you know, these vices, and I got to get rid of this. I got to get myself all cleaned up, and then I can come to Christ. Well, let me ask you something. If you're having a heart attack, do you want to call 911 now, or would you just like to wait to see if the heart attack ends, and then I'll go ahead and call 911? No, you call 911 while you're having a heart attack, right? And that's the way I'm going to do it. If I have one, I hope I don't have one. No. And so God's not asking. You can't clean. Matter of fact, you can't clean yourself up. It was Rahab the harlot's house that grace and mercy was shown. God's the one that does the cleaning. God's the one that does the cleaning. So let me ask you something. Are you sure? Do you have real saving faith? I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about walking down an aisle in a church somewhere. I'm talking about, you know, active, living, powerful faith. Faith in God. I'm not asking for perfection. I'm not asking you if you've got a perfect life. I'm not. Because you don't have it. But I'm asking you, do you have you really put faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else? All she could do was put faith in the Word of God. It was really the Word of God. And that's what we do. Because we didn't see it either. We just got it in the Word of God. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, listen, it doesn't matter whether you've made a profession, like I said somewhere, it doesn't matter. You know, the matter is that if God's speaking to your heart today that you need to be saved, then today's the day. Today's the day. You come as Randy leads in the invitation. If you need to come down and pray, don't worry about singing the song. Just come on down and pray. And if you need to be saved, to get my attention, I'll pray with you.
Let's sing. It is well with my soul.